Welcome to the King's Anywhere podcast, inspirational teaching, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whenever you're ready.
I'm going to explore Ezekiel 37 and various scriptures. So if you'd like to find Ezekiel 37, that would be cool. I'm just going to read the background of the story, so and use it as a base. So the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.'" You do feel like you want to break into a song, don't you? You're just not going to do it. Just not going to do it. "This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says, come, breathe from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, my people. I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land, and then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." So we have a context here for this passage, and it's one of exile. So it's set when the children of Israel were in exile. And so for them, it was all of the promises of God were like distant, kind of in their minds, because they were in exile. The promises of God that they would be in the promised land, that God would be their God. This is where they were. They were in exile. It felt like they were a long way from that. And this is how they saw themselves, that their bones are dried up, their hope is gone, and they're cut off. And you could say, well, yes, that's probably a reality in their thinking. But that was their narrative in their thinking about their situation and circumstances. And you might say, well, that's fairly real to have that kind of perspective. But when we look at and we read through this, it wasn't God's kind of perspective, but he started with their perspective. So the whole kind of picture of the dry bones was God saying, "Look, yeah, I see your narrative. I'm going to raise you a different narrative, but I'm going to communicate where you are and from your perspective." And he does that in his grace and in his love. He connects with them where they are. But I just want to talk about the Holy Spirit for a moment, because this kind of passage is around the Holy Spirit and, you know, the Holy Spirit bringing life in this situation. And there's a verse in Genesis, at the beginning of Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And I just want to focus in a moment on the person of the Holy Spirit and who he is and where he is and what he does, because it links to this passage of the Valley of the Dry Bones, because God is almost saying that, you know, his holy presence is in that place of the Valley of the Dry Bones, is in where that is, that place that looks dead, that place that looks like nothing can happen. The Holy Spirit is there. And we see the same picture, don't we, in creation, that we've just read in Genesis, that he is there. He is there in deep darkness and chaos. He is there, hovering, waiting. And I think it helps us in our thinking and in our perspective to see who he is, the Holy Spirit. He's not changed. He's the same person, the person of God. He's the same Holy Spirit today as he was at creation. But he was there in the darkness, in the chaos. He was there. Holy Spirit was there in that place. And I think that says to us something about our perspective. You know, you might have things around you at the moment that you would probably say, well, that's a valley of dry bones in my situation. And in my circumstance, that's exactly what it looks like. It looks dead. It looks like nothing's going to kind of come from that. And we could be tempted to think, well, where is God? And this kind of says to us that the Holy Spirit is hovering in difficult situations. And it's all about your perspective and our perspective about those things. And I don't want to just give a talk this morning, a bit beyond that. I just want us to know and listen and hear from the Holy Spirit. I want us to hear what he wants to say into our situations and into our circumstances, and invite him into those places. So I wonder if we could just pause for a moment and let's just ask him. Let's pray for a moment together. Let's just ask him. Lord, you are the same yesterday, at creation, today, and forever. And Holy Spirit, I just pray for each one of us this morning that you would just highlight in our situations, Lord, what you want to address or what you want to speak into. Perhaps there are valleys of dry bones in our circumstances and in our lives that you want to speak into. And I just pray, Lord, this morning that there would be a shift in our focus and in our faith perspective, that we would see that, Holy Spirit, you're there. Whatever is coming to mind right now, that you are there and that you are hovering in situations and circumstances that we would see as there is no hope, or we've spoken over or we've said over those situations. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just come right now, Lord, this morning, the same, you are the same as you were when you hovered over this world to create. You're the same, Holy Spirit, and we just invite you to change our perspectives this morning, to challenge us, to speak life where we have had a wrong or a different, or maybe a narrative that we see as real, but actually you want to speak into that situation and bring life. And Lord, we come together this morning because we want to encounter you. We're not here for anything else. And so I pray that you would just move in us and among us, person of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, God. Yeah, so in this passage, it's like, what do you see, Ezekiel? Well, a valley of dry bones. And he's asked, can these bones live? And he's asked to prophesy into that. And the Holy Spirit sees potential in places that look dark, barren, and chaotic. And he can bring new life. And I think it's important that we understand that. Because that's who he is. And so that we have hope in those situations. Sometimes it can be something that has died in your life or in you through what's happened to you. And God says, I want to change that. So maybe you don't respond in something in your life anymore because of what you've been through or experienced. And the Holy Spirit wants to come along and say, okay, I want to now speak life. And so where you have not responded, I want you to respond again. Where you said, I'm not going to do that, the Holy Spirit comes along and says, right, I want you to do that. And that's about life. It's about you coming back to life in an area that you've said, I'm sorry, God, but this is a valley of dry bones. And the Holy Spirit wants to say no. He wants you to respond differently and to do something again in that area that you've said no. Because he's the one that brings life, and he is the one that breathes life into that. So the Lord, it says in Genesis that the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So I don't know if you've ever Googled, like, God creating man. You get pictures of, like, fingers. It's like, you know, Adam. God touched Adam, like, with a finger. And that was how, kind of, they connected. But that's not what it says in the Bible. It's not what it says in Genesis about how God connected with Adam. He connected in a very intimate way. And he breathed into Adam. I mean, he invaded his personal space. And Adam was dead. So, you know, there was a point, wasn't there, where he was dead. He looked good. But he was dead. He had no life in him. And that's exactly the same in the story of the dry bones. They got to a point where they had flesh on them. They looked good, but they were still dead. And we have to be careful, don't we, when we think of the church, because we don't want to look good but be dead. We don't want to have a form of looking like we're good people, but actually inside there's no life. And it says, Jesus said of the Pharisees, didn't he? Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs. You look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. Basically, a dry bones. And we don't want to be like that as his church. And it's a powerful picture, isn't it, of creation, of Adam, of God coming face to face with us and breathing his life into us. And, you know, we are lifeless without him, without his breath, without his life, without the Holy Spirit breathing into our lives. And it says in 2 Corinthians 4, for God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. And the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us. That's part of what he wants to do. And I think just going back to what I said about the creation and the valley of the dry bones and seeing the valley of the dry bones, the Holy Spirit wants to not just change your circumstances, he wants to comfort you. And because he sees how valuable you are to him, that he has purchased you, Jesus has purchased you. And so it's not just about the change of circumstances. He is the comforter. And he wants to comfort you. He will comfort you. And I think it's whether we allow or stop for him to do that, because that's what he does. Part of who he is, the person of God, that he cares, he values you. It's not just changing your circumstance. He first comes to comfort you where you are in your situation and in your circumstances. But he breathed life into Adam, and he became a living being. And we have this opportunity to be face to face with God, to be intimate with him. And when Adam opened his eyes, he breathed in, his eyes opened, and he saw the face of God right in front of him. And so his first experience was one of worship, being in a place of worship with God who had made him and who had created him. He was face to face with him. And we have that opportunity to be face to face with him. I was talking to Nick Duffy recently, and he spoke on Seedbed. We've had him at a Leaders Day. And he was talking about how, you know, sharing the gospel and being sent out and with others, it can take time here in the UK. And it says about, you know, the farmer perseveres and produces a crop by persevering. And he talked about that. And he talked about being labourers in the harvest field, and that actually it says labourers because you work. So it is work. that's why it says labour. But he also said that in China, every minute, someone is becoming a follower of Jesus. And that the harvest field there is very different. That people are turning in a rapid rate to know Jesus in that nation. And so his challenge to us was, will we prepare the ground? You know, the Holy Spirit is hovering over the UK, over the people in the UK. And what does he see? What do you see? Do you see, oh man, this is difficult and, you know, or will you rise up and join in and have faith in the harvest fields and start to sow and start to share the gospel, start to prepare the ground, start to pray, because you see that the Holy Spirit is hovering over our nation, and things will change, and there'll come a point where potentially every single minute someone will come to know Jesus in the UK again. So, how do we see things? The Holy Spirit hovers, looking for the times of God, looking for the word of God, looking to bring life at the right time and at the right moment. And fast forward, we see the Christmas story, don't we? We see Mary. We see that the Holy Spirit is there, hovering over Mary and overshadows Mary, brings the creative power of God, and Jesus, the incarnation, happens. And he hovers to bring life. And it's interesting, again, because it's a little bit like the Valley of the Dry Bones at that point, because the house of David, where Jesus was prophesied to come from, was at its probably lowest ebb. It was a stump. It was prophesied the Messiah was going to come from the house of David. And it was literally a stump. And it says, like, a root out of dry ground will grow. And it's interesting, in AD 70, all of the genealogical records of the house of David were destroyed. So there's, after that time, there would have been no way for the Jewish people to actually have a genealogy of a Messiah. Isn't that interesting? The timing of God, the Holy Spirit was hovering at the right time when it was a stump. And how would you view that? The greatest king of the universe was about to be born when it was a stump. Look at how the Holy Spirit works. Look at what he can do. He's the same Holy Spirit as then, as at creation, as that breathed into Adam. He's the same Holy Spirit. And we come, don't we, to the baptism of Jesus. He was hovering as a dove. And the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form on Jesus. And what do we see? We see life. We see the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to see the brokenhearted healed. And we see life through the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And then we come to the resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And Jesus saw that before the world was created. And, you know, the Holy Spirit hovered over at creation. There would be a moment in history when Jesus' body would be lifeless, where it would be like this picture that we're reading in Ezekiel again, and the Holy Spirit is there hovering. And there was a moment in history where Jesus died. Okay, thanks. And it says in Revelation 1:18, I am the living one. I was dead. And now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. And we see that picture, don't we? We see the move of the Holy Spirit at the resurrection. The Holy Spirit and God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, and Jesus broke the power of death. So we have new life. We have resurrection power. Jesus defeated death on the cross. He took our punishment. He was raised from the dead. It's what he does. He sets us free. He delivers. He is life. Nothing is impossible with God. We see the heart of God in Christ, in the resurrection, for healing, for deliverance, for restoration. We see all of this in the gospel. So where is the place for you at the moment that seems impossible and maybe dark? The Holy Spirit is there in that situation. He is the one that comes. He raised Christ from the dead. And his job is to prepare that environment for God's timing and for God's action in your situation and in your circumstances. They were in exile. They said they've no hope. They had a negative narrative. They said, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. And then God changes the narrative. He says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. God brings a different narrative. And I want to challenge you or encourage you through the Holy Spirit, challenge me, because I've got situations too, to bring a narrative of hope, to bring a narrative of the hovering of the Holy Spirit and the potential of the situation and the hope of the situation and the life into a situation. I want to challenge you to bring that perspective, to have that perspective in your situations and in your circumstance, because you are called to speak life into those places, into our workplaces, into wherever we are. That same perspective that we speak and we bring into that situation. So Jesus, after the resurrection, met with his disciples, and he said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And the word breathe on, emphaseo, is the same word, or it's the same emphasis as that we have in Genesis, where God breathes onto Adam. And it's the same emphasis in Ezekiel 37, when God breathes on the valley of the dry bones. And it reflects a prophetic act of Jesus for the church when he breathes on the disciples, that this army is about to come to life and be released in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we see it fulfilled at Pentecost. You see, it's the life of God. It's his life that enables us. I don't need to say anything else. It's his life. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to gaze on Jesus face to face. You and me through the Holy Spirit. He wants to show you Jesus. That's where he leads and points to. He wants you to be face to face with Jesus in your life, a place of worship. And he does that. And if the church is brought to life by Jesus, then shouldn't the church be about Jesus? Yes. When we read the Bible, shouldn't it be about the one the Bible is about? When we worship, shouldn't it be about the one to whom we are worshiping? The one who gave us life. Shouldn't prayer be about the one to whom we are talking? Because he gives us life. It's the one thing. It's simplicity to come back to him. And running out of time and got halfway through. So true freedom is a person. The person of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Son, the person of God the Father. It's his life in us, and he leads us to obedience in him. It says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We all with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with an ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We need to remember that the Holy Spirit, Kyrios, the Spirit of the Lord, he is the Lord. And so when the Holy Spirit is in our lives, he expects to be able to lead us, and he expects to be the Lord in our lives. That's who he is. And if we want to know him, if you really are serious about wanting to know the Holy Spirit and to go deeper with him, then you have to know him as the Lord. And he doesn't drive you. The Holy Spirit doesn't drive. He leads. He leads you. He directs you. And he can say no, because he is the Spirit of the Lord. He can say no. And we can focus on not so much, yes, we focus on our identity, but more than that, we focus on the one who gives us our identity. That's where our focus is. The one who gives us our identity. That's where our focus should be. I'll finish with this story. In Ezekiel 39, he says, I will no longer hide my face from them, for I will pour out my spirit on the people of Israel, declares the Lord. There's a correlation with the Holy Spirit and the face of God and intimacy. There's a correlation of who he is in that. I just want to finish with this story, which I read this week, and it's Sally and Floyd McClung, and they were part of the Jesus movement in the 1970s. Incidentally, I encourage you to watch the film Jesus Revolution. It's out. It's really good. It's about that time and that movement. But Time magazine wrote an article about their work in Afghanistan and on the hippie trail. And they had people, in those days, people showed up and told people about Jesus. And people were just coming to know Jesus so easily at that time. And those that came to Jesus from different countries, from Morocco to Marseille, they had a simple community. So they all kind of shared a simple community. And they was kind of spread over 15 countries. And they saw church like the book of Acts, like this community in the book of Acts. And they just did things like they fasted, they prayed, they met each morning for prayer. They lived simple lives of devotion to Jesus. And they described sort of living from shared values. And they coined a phrase called wandering in the spirit, because things were happening so quickly for them. And they were orientated around mission, and they didn't kind of have a hierarchy. It was happening so fast. They just had values that they shared, and they trusted in Jesus, that Jesus would lead those people that were coming to him as well. So they taught them how to do what the Holy Spirit told them to do, and have a simple approach to living in community, to share Jesus with everyone, meet people's needs, disciple one another, and then start more communities. And they would send out new people to start communities about after 6 months. So as a new believer, you were off starting your own community after 6 months, which is amazing. And I tell you that story because it speaks about living from the life of Christ, and the church living from the life of Christ, and was waking up to the Holy Spirit is no sort of, you can't put him somewhere and put him in your box. He just doesn't do that, and he won't move. And you know, he wants to go deeper with you. He wants to have a deeper relationship with you. But he draws out of us our obedience to him, and he looks for that. And, you know, it's being in that place of face-to-face worship. I don't want to do church anymore without him. Don't. Want it to be about the person of God in your life and what he wants to do in you. That we come from the life of Christ, the life of Jesus, and we understand who the Holy Spirit, who he is.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To find out more about King's Church Warrington, visit our website or find us on Facebook and Instagram.